Have you ever wondered whether the problems in the world today would exist if we had deeper connection to ourselves, others, and the environment, and acted from that place?
Welcome to the Conscious Action Podcast with your hosts Brian Berneman and Kayla Grimble, who believe that connection is the key to taking conscious action as individuals and creating a better world.
We are here to raise awareness and inspire meaningful action by sharing stories, knowledge, and conversations with thought leaders and changemakers.
From sustainability to well-being and everything related to conscious living, our mission is to empower you to be the change that you want to see in the world.
Welcome to a new episode of the Conscious Action Podcast. This time, we are in New Zealand on level one. After being in lockdown for quite some time, there's no more cases here. And there's a new wave of what is happening here. And for this episode, I have the pleasure of being with Chris Morrison. I'm going to ask you, Chris, as I always do with every guest, to introduce yourself, because I can never do justice to anyone. So first, thank you for being here and taking the time to speak with me. Please introduce yourself.
Well, thank you very much for the invitation. Very much respect the great work you're doing. So a little bit about me. When I left school, I went traveling like lots of Kiwis, and was fortunate enough to spend 6 years on Vancouver Island in Canada and Vancouver, and then travel down through the States and Mexico and Europe and do the OE thing. And I think it opened my eyes up to what other people were doing in different parts of the world, and was a fantastic experience for me. And I ended up working on all sorts of jobs, but one of them, I ended up working in a health food store. And I've always been interested in healthy food, healthy soil, healthy planet. And I think it just really started a deep love for organic food and, healthy people. So when I left, I came back to New Zealand and started studying naturopathy, alternative medicine, and that was a continuation of exploring new ways of doing things, new ways of looking at the world, working with herbs and plants and with healthy food. And that just has set me up in a world of passion about organics. And while I was there, I started making homemade ginger beer, and that led into Phoenix Organics, which I did with my business partner Roger for 20 years. And when we sold that, it was the largest organic beverage company in Australasia. So that was a very positive experience. I mean, it just meant that we had the ability to support organic growers and buy as much organic product and produce as possible. And then I've gone on to set up other businesses, including All Good Organics, where we were the first people to bring in fair trade and fair trade organic bananas into New Zealand, and did that with my business partners Simon and Matthew. And we also set up Karma Cola, which we continue to do today. We sell in 23 countries. It's all organic. Super passionate. And on the side of business, I've been involved in organic organisations. I've been involved in BioGrow, which is the organic certifier, or the main organic certifier in New Zealand. I was on the board for 10 years and the chair for 6. And now I am the chair of OANZ, which is Organics Aotearoa New Zealand, and that is the umbrella organisation for the organic sector in New Zealand. So continue to work in this area. It brings me a lot of energy and support. I love supporting organic growers and encouraging people to eat healthy food and to support those people that are looking after our environment. So that's it in a a nutshell. But yeah, happy to discuss it further.
Yes, and it's wonderful to hear. I love most times understanding, as you say, like that traveling, how it opened your eyes to different ways and learning and how you connected with your own values and what can you do. And I think that there's a lot to unpack from what you were just mentioning, because you touch on so many different aspects. And I find that your experience of having done this for such a long period of time, it's something that we can look to and be like, okay, what are the learnings there? What are the challenges there? And knowing that also perhaps now there's not as many challenges as when you started, because now there's a precedent. Like now you have been doing this and other businesses, of course. And the first thing that I wanted to touch on is understanding why organic and why for you is that so important. I know for me why organic is important, but just so that we can get an understanding of why do you put such an emphasis on organic?
Well, I feel that organics is the only true sustainable regenerative agriculture. It is the way that our past generations have always farmed. They've worked in tune with nature. And we, as humanity has accelerated, we tend to cut corners and find the easy way out. But that has consequences. And, we're finding that in New Zealand, sadly, we can't swim in our rivers and streams and waterways because they're polluted from intense farming. I think that that is not a good result. I think that we must pay attention to nature. We must work within the constraints of environment. We must nurture the soil. We should be leaving our land and our farms and our surroundings in a better shape than when we found them. And that is what organics is about. It's about working with nature. It's not working against nature. It's respecting that we're just part of nature. We're not superior to nature. And that, to me, rings true. And I'm super passionate about that, about looking after the soil, looking after people's health, and looking after the environment. And that, to me, is the basis of organics.
Yes, and that's beautiful, because I do feel, and I have this conversation a lot during the events, of understanding that what we have been for the last, I don't know, whatever amount of years, talked about sustainable, it's no longer what we should be aiming. It's that regenerative. And working, as you say, with the land, working with the cycles and not working against it. And there is something within that I find that at some point there was this shift of we need to make enough food to feed the world. And we didn't have that long-term vision of, well, we are depleting the nutrients of the soil. We are creating such a mess with all of the chemicals that we are using. Mm. And yes, we are making a lot of food now, but what about in the future? And this is something that I've been talking a lot with experts, because I'm not an expert in this, about if we don't go back to these practices, we are going to run out of soil to actually grow things. And this is why it is one of my values, why I support so much what you do, and being able to actually get behind those that are creating products and are not only creating products, but creating communities behind something that is of value. And with that, I wanted to touch on, and I know the work that you do, but not everybody knows the work that you do. Why is it important, the community aspect, and why is it important to partner with the farmers instead of just trying to figure out what's in it for me?
So I believe it's really important to look at a holistic value chain, and rather than just look at the finished product and the brand and the marketing, etc., that we must support the people all the way through, and most importantly, the farmer at the beginning, because they're the ones most likely, when there's pressure on prices, etc., they bear the brunt of that. And actually, they're the most important part in that finished product. So we must look after them. And one way to do that is to connect the consumer to the grower. And so we, for example, with Karma Drinks, we have a Karma Cola Foundation, and 1% of all our sales goes back to the cola nut growers in Sierra Leone. And Sierra Leone, as most people will know, is a poor country, and it has gone through many, many difficult periods. More recently, we have had Ebola that has been very devastating. And then before that, a civil war that went on, a very brutal civil war that went on for 10 years. So these people are desperate to just earn a fair living. And so we feel it's so important to give back to those growers and to support them and let them have a sustainable livelihood. And we have focused with the Karma Foundation on educating women, because we know that when you educate women, you lift the livelihoods of the whole community, and you can bring a community out of poverty through the simple act of education. And often young women are the ones that miss out. If there's a family and there are boys and girls, for many reasons, the boys have got priority, and often the girls don't get any education. We feel it's super important to educate those women and to have equality. And there are fantastic social outcomes from achieving that.
Yes. And would you be able to elaborate a little bit more? I'm curious about this way of partnering and actually working with the farmers and working with the communities, instead of going there and saying, we know what's better. Could you elaborate a little bit of, yeah, of what has been your experience with this?
So we have, as you rightly say, we don't want to come in there as the experts and the patron. We want to sit down, and we have and do sit down with the chiefs and the communities in Sierra Leone. And we've been fortunate enough, co-founders of Karma have been fortunate enough to go to Sierra Leone and to experience it ourselves. And we want to know from them how we can help partner with them, what are the outcomes that they want, and to support them with that. So it's very much a listen and to work with their needs and not to presume what we think they might need or might want. It's a true partnership, and it's one that works for both parties, and it's very rewarding. And we are, this is a very long-term partnership. We're not in and out or anything like that. We're committed to this. It's set up the foundation as a separate identity to the business, so that it is protected, and that the values of the foundation are protected in the long run.
Yes, beautiful. And I think that this brings me to something of what you just said at the end, is the idea of having businesses and organizations based on values, based on a vision that it's not the short term and not just the profit. And I love the entire sphere of social responsible companies. And I know that for that to happen, businesses need to have strong values, need to have a holistic approach, as you mentioned before. What are the the things that you have seen in that space in terms of social responsible companies or businesses, and how has that shifted through the years?
Yeah, well, I've been fortunate enough to work with Rachel Brown from the Sustainable Business Network, and she is the CEO, the founder, and the CEO of the Sustainable Business Network. And I was fortunate enough to be the chairperson with her for the first 10 years. And it's a big movement now, sustainable business, and more and more businesses are paying attention to this and are getting on board. And it's becoming common practice, but we need to keep pushing the boundaries all the time. And it's not good enough just to do the recycling or, those small things with light bulbs or something like that. We need systematic change, and we need to look at full cycle analysis, et cetera. And the constraints are becoming more and more difficult as, we face the challenges of climate change and inequality around the world. And, we're seeing in New Zealand some fundamental things, like we're getting more and more droughts. We have these weather extremes, etc. So businesses have to adapt. We want businesses to put pressure on governments to make fundamental changes. I believe that we should move our tax system to more about green taxes, so polluter pays, those that are doing the right things are rewarded, and just change that fundamental emphasis from letting people off, the polluters, et cetera, but actually getting people to take responsibility for their actions. So that's at the core of sustainability. And, there's a lot of work to be done, but I'm very positive about the fact there's more and more businesses that are wanting to do the right thing. They're wanting to network together and work out these issues and see how we can work together to find solutions to these big problems.
Yes, and I think that it's very interesting what you say, because I find that the system needs to change, in a sense, because what has been true for business has been maximizing profit and not caring about the actual true cost of what is actually being done to the land or to people or all throughout the supply chain. And it has been that, and I think that the more that we can see businesses that can make profit, so they can make their businesses sustainable, and at the same time taking care of all the stakeholders, of the land, of as you say, like not just recycling, but looking at everything. What are some of the key aspects that you think that should be in your own as a person? What are the next key aspects that there should be a change? As you just mentioned, like a little bit of a tax, but what can the businesses or the government get on board next?
Well, I mean, personally for me, as I've said, I'm very passionate about organic. So New Zealand is a producer of food and fiber, and we have this perception that we're a clean, green country, but actually we have a lot of issues here, and we need to be honest and transparent about that, and we need to address these issues. And as you say, we can't continue just to chase that dollar the whole time. And it's not about growth. It's about added value. It's about, having goods that consumers around the world want. And I think New Zealand is in this perfect position where we're isolated at the bottom of the world. We're very, very fortunate. We have low population. We have a lot of land, etc. But we need to look after that land, and we need to build this brand of being a regenerative organic nation and produce those goods that are high value, We don't have to sell as many to generate the same income, et cetera, but when we look in the future, when as our borders become open, that we continue to look at ecotourism, all of these things that, you know, and then with technology, et cetera, that we're looking at the positives and constructive ways to help people in need, et cetera. So New Zealand could become a sustainable country, and I know that's a generalistic term, but, you know, if we look deeply into how can we shape this country, we've got this opportunity at the moment, we're kind of having a bit of a reset, everything has changed, and how will we come out of this and how is New Zealand perceived? And we've had wonderful world attention on the way that we've dealt with COVID, and our Prime Minister Jacinda has done a wonderful job in a very compassionate way and brought everybody together, and we all worked together to get a great result. Let's continue that momentum. Let's show the world that we, you know, how we handle this is how we can address some of the other problems and be a leader when it comes to climate change, clean food, clean water, and demonstrate how it can be done. It's a would be a brave step, but and there may be some costs along the way, but we can do this if we all come together and choose a good outcome.
Yes, beautifully said, then. And I think that I see this as the time to be bold to make changes, because as you say, like, this is a unique time and things are different, and it's like, why not using this time as the perfect time to actually create those changes, to be able to say, like, okay, like, as you say, like, everyone is looking to New Zealand, like, what can we do that it's going to make us proud and it's going to make everyone proud, and that we're actually keeping up with the way that others are seeing us as that green, clean New Zealand brand, and being able to create that change. And I'm curious, I was actually on one of the events that I ran, I was talking about organics and fair trade. That is another of the topics that I want to touch on in a moment. But I mentioned from the standpoint of the consumer, wouldn't it be amazing if we would go to the market or the supermarket or whatever it is that we buy our products from, and instead of seeing the organic section, a section like part section of the supermarket and then the rest of the veggies, we would see veggies and then chemically grown veggies, or fair, like the fair trade products don't have to say fair trade. Everything else needs to say not fair trade.
Yes.
And how would that change the perspective for consumers in terms of what we value? Because I do know, and this is something that I feel like as a business for you, this must be a challenge of saying, like, are the consumers going to be willing pay extra for something that is actually organic and fair trade, and how do you deal with that?
Yeah, well, it's a very interesting point, and others have discussed this as well. And I think, yeah, it's very unfair that, for example, in the supermarkets, it's the organic products that have to use the extra packaging to make sure that they're different when it gets to the checkout. And those that are conventionally produced, they don't have to put that extra expense. And the organic and sustainable products that we produce in New Zealand, they don't, you know, they don't have those costs that go into looking after the soil, looking after water, looking after the air, etc. All the things that organic growers, that is a cost, you know, they hand weed rather than spraying, et cetera. It's intensive farming, it's looking after and working with the land, and there are costs involved in that that other growers and ways of growing do not carry, because they're looking at short-term, quick the cheapest possible way to produce a head of broccoli or an orange or something like that, but it's the future generations that are having to pay the cost of that decision and that way of farming. So it's very difficult to put that across to consumers when they look at two oranges sitting one beside the other and one's 50 cents more a kilo. But there are hidden costs in those two different ways of producing produce, and unfortunately, you know, people are making decisions very quickly when they walk down a supermarket aisle. But we do need to educate people. We do need to get this discussed in schools and in the media, etc., because there are hidden costs involved in those decisions that are made. And yeah, it's the true cost of growing a head of broccoli is not 50 cents. You know, it may be a dollar or whatever, because there are hidden costs there that are going to show benefits for future generations and for the whole planet.
And how could the government create change to be able to actually put that hidden cost to actually be there, and not for us as a planet to take that on?
Well, I mean, one way, I haven't really thought about this in a big way, but it's a little bit like tobacco, that the government puts high taxes to discourage people. Well, perhaps there should be a high tax on chemicals that go onto the land and onto food, because actually we want to encourage people to look at science and to look at nature and how can we create healthy food without having to rely on the nitrogens, on the pesticides and herbicides, etc., the urea. How do we encourage people to grow healthy people for healthy people, healthy food for healthy people? And, you know, the organic farmer, the sustainable farmer, the regenerative farmer is bearing that cost while looking after all of us and the planet, whereas those that are taking shortcuts and only really looking at a financial outcome, seeking the benefits of not having to go down that path.
Yeah. And moving on to that topic of fair trade, what has been your experience with that, both as a consumers just seeing that being more part of the last 20 years and the growth that movement has had? And how does, you mentioned a little bit before, but what are you doing with your business in terms of that?
Yeah. We are very passionate about fairly trading goods and treating growers, and fair trade is a label, but the philosophy of fair trading is what we believe in, and actually we believe that organics has already had that embedded into their philosophy and the way they do business, and the stores that trade in organics, etc., is about making sure that everybody is fairly treated and not just, you know, the last link in the chain, but everybody along the chain is earns a fair living and has the right to a sustainable livelihood. So we believe in fairly traded goods and a fairly traded system. And that's why we choose organics, because we believe that incorporates everything along that supply chain, including the planet, including the growers, including the consumers. So we think that everybody should be using this philosophy of business and stop focusing just on growth for the sake of growth. Let's look at what sort of future do we want for our children, etc., and how do we create those systems and make sure that everybody is looked after along the way and not just the brand at the end or the retailer at the end, but everybody who's often hidden along the way.
Yeah, and as you as you have experienced through the last decades, you can actually make a profit. You can actually run a business with these principles.
Absolutely, yes. And I believe that people at heart absolutely want to do the right thing, and it is an education process, and that people have good values, and you know they want to choose the right thing, but you know they're busy people and they're surviving and feeding their families and going to work, etc. They don't always have time to sit down and understand what a supply chain might look like. I mean, you know, we don't expect everyone to be experts in every field, but people do want to do the right thing. And when you have the time to explain to them why we use organics, for example, or fair trade, then people say, well, that feels good. And we've seen a great example actually with eggs over the last 10 years or so, where people have, you know, the activists have gone in and shown what a caged chicken farm looks like as opposed to a free-range one or an organic one. Once consumers see that, and often these things are hidden away, they're, you know, a long way from the city or from the supermarket where people are buying their eggs, but when they see that relationship between animal cruelty and a cheap egg, people are saying, well, maybe I'll buy a few less eggs, but I'm going to buy an egg that sits well with my values and what I'm comfortable with. And this should flow out to all forms of food and the way we deal with people and the way we deal with animals and we deal with the planet. So it's a consciousness awareness thing, and it's education, and I'd like to see that sort of coming through from early childhood all the way through.
Yes, and it's so important, and this is one of the things that with Conscious Action we talk so much about, is understanding your values, because I also believe that every single person in the world is good and kind, and they just want to do good. And we just have been conditioned and are part of certain cultures and certain systems and ways of being that when we don't really stop to analyze, like, is this actually aligned with my values, then we might be doing a lot of things that we don't want to be doing just because we are just going on with life. And it's such an interesting way of seeing this time, as you mentioned before, that reset, and how we can use this time to raise awareness and to educate and to show people, both individuals and businesses, that these are ways of doing things that actually, as you mentioned, are good for everyone and everything. So what are the things that this moment for you particularly and for your business, this pandemic, how did it impact you and your business, and what have been the challenges or the opportunities as well?
Yeah, well, it certainly has impacted on our business. Karma Drinks, we primarily work with small businesses in New Zealand, small cafe owners, small restaurants, and as everybody is aware, the tourism and hospitality trades have been hit very hard. So we're just working with those small business owners to start rebuilding, and you know, we're very happy that we've now moved to level one. But it has made us think, well, what's important, and you know, and adapt. You know, we're now finding a lot of people like to buy goods offline, so online. So we need to have a digital approach to business, and all businesses are pivoting and adjusting to the new world where people are quite happy to sit at home and order their food and their goods online. So we need to adapt to that, and that's a good thing. And also, you know, we also focus on, well, what is important to us at this stage. And some of the good things is we've learned is that actually we don't have to come to work every day. We can work from home. We can, you know, change our lives to be part of the family and some of the time. And if we choose to, we can come into work. We have that flexi time. We've also learned that we don't have to fly as much. You know, we can do these Zoom meetings. I mean, it's been unbelievable how quickly businesses have adapted to the ability to communicate via a computer. And that's very good for the environment. It's very good for the fact that it saves people time and cost. But, you know, we're not polluting the planet as much. So that's a fantastic outcome. So we've been forced to adapt very quickly to a new world. And there are many good things that have come out of it and many opportunities. So, you know, we're seizing those opportunities.
Beautiful. Yes. And I think that this is one of the things, as you say, like just focusing on okay, what can we learn from this time and what can we do, as you say, like for the business, internally for the business with employees and changing the ways that things are going. And I'm curious also because you work with other countries. What has been with that, the challenges, and has anything change with that in the way that you foresee how it will operate?
Yeah, I mean, it is, like I said before, New Zealand has taken a hard approach but a very good approach, and we're now coming out of it a little bit earlier than others. And, of course, we've got the advantage of being a small country and limited population. But you know, I was listening to the news today that although things are looking good here and in some other countries, actually they've had the highest numbers still being recorded yesterday. So there's a long way to go with this. Hopefully we're going to learn some things out of it. And, yes, we have a business in the UK. We manufacture and do drinks over there, and it's going to take a long time to recover. New Zealand, you know, we'll come out of this a lot quicker. So there's some adapting for sure and some challenges, but we will adapt and we will learn and hopefully we'll be better off for it in the long run.
Yes. And this past year, you, with Karma Cola, now Karma Drinks, you have made that switch. Could you elaborate a little bit on why did that happen and what has been challenging in terms of being able to do that shift?
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, that's just an interesting marketing thing, is that we had these distinct drinks. We have a ginger ale called Gingerella. We have a lemonade called Lemmy, and we have a cola called Karma Cola and Lemon Lime and Bitters. No one really understood they were the same company because they looked very different and unique and stuff, which is fun and good. But we wanted everyone to realise they're all part of a family. So we changed the name from Karma Cola to Karma Drinks to say all of these drinks come under the Karma brand, and also they all contribute to the Karma Cola Foundation, and every drink is doing good. So that was just an opportunity for us to bring things together when people were loving the drinks but didn't understand necessarily that they were part of the same family.
Yes, and you have recently also started with kombucha and different flavors, and I actually really, really enjoy them. And I think that this is the interesting thing of figuring out how. And I think that this is the interesting thing with your drinks, is figuring out how to do good and how to taste good, but without all of the nasty things that a lot of the other drinks have. And focusing, as you say, on healthy living and healthy being.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's what we certainly want to get into, more of the health and wellness. And so we've developed a range of switchels, which are organic apple cider vinegar-based. And as you say, with the kombuchas, which has been an amazing journey, so many people now are drinking these healthy drinks, low in sugar or no sugar, and feeling really refreshed by soft drink. So that's how things are moving, and we're very keen to explore new opportunities, perhaps CBD in the future, perhaps tonics, which might help people with relaxing or sleeping, these sorts of things. So we're continually looking at what do consumers want, what would they like in a drink, and it's just an evolution all the time of adapting and changing our path, etc. But we're super interested in what is the consumer looking for and what sort of healthy drinks should we be looking at in the future. And that's fun and exciting and keeps us on our toes.
Mm, really fun. And I don't want to take so much of your time, so I want to get to a few last questions. And these are some questions that I ask to all of our guests. And I did send you this question just in advance in case that you need to have a little bit of a think. So I'm going to go with the first question, and that is, what's one resource that you would recommend?
So I was thinking about this, and I think for me personally in my business life is networking is so important. I love to be part of people that I respect and look at their businesses, and they're doing things which are really positive, etc. So I love the sense of networking, sitting down with someone and having a cup of tea or glass of beer or kombucha or whatever it might be, that in a relaxed environment where you can talk about what does the future look like, what are the issues that we're all facing together, how do we address these things, how can we come together and create strength to influence others, whether it's politicians or other businesses or consumers, etc., for positive outcomes. And that gives me a lot of energy, and I just love to do that. And there are so many good small businesses in New Zealand that you know, finding your tribe and sitting down and chewing these things through is very rewarding for me. So I'd recommend that to anybody who's looking at business, or, I mean, it's a basic community, really. It's finding your community, your people, and that's such a positive and an energizing thing to do.
Yes, and I think that it's, and this for me, it's such a valid thing, because I'm all about collaboration and connecting and understanding the value of community, and knowing that it's not all about competition. It's about, like, we are all in this together, and how can we lift that, like, the tide for everyone to rise?
Yeah.
What is your, and perhaps this is similar to that, but if you are talking with someone and you have to give just one tip, and that might be the networking or it might be a different one, what would you say to someone?
So often when you're as old as me, you've been in business as long as I have, you get young people coming to me asking for advice and stuff like that. And I always say to people, don't be afraid or embarrassed or shy. If you see a business or a business leader or someone that you respect, please make an effort to get in touch with them. And especially in a country like New Zealand, people are so warm and generous, and they will give their time. So people who are setting out in business, got a business idea, they want to see whether it's going to work or not, they're nervous, I always say to people, please make the effort, write an email, give someone a phone call, because 9 times out of 10, people are just going to be positive and warm and receptive and helpful. So I always encourage people to sit down with people and those that they respect will be more than happy to give them advice and help.
Yes, and it's so true what you say, and it has been my experience most of the time. Most people, unless they're going through something and they don't have the time, most people are approachable, most people want to share. Yeah. And that's so beautiful. What has been your latest small act of kindness?
I thought about that. It's quite a hard one, but I'm one of those people that I do a walk every morning, and I'm the person who waves and says hello to people, because I love that when, you know, I'm walking along and someone I don't know, just a random person, will smile or say hello, good morning, or something like that. So that's my way of interacting in the world. It sort of gives me energy. I receive energy when you receive that back. It's just a small thing, but it's a warming, loving thing that you can do with strangers. It's just a nice little thing.
Yes, beautiful. And it is such an interesting thing. Like, I realized, especially when I came to New Zealand, and I'm used to, from when I was growing up in Argentina, that most people are a little bit more, I would say, expressive. And we, like, it's normal to say hi to people. And I found, living in Europe and then living in the US and living here, that it wasn't kind of like that. Like, and actually it makes a difference if I say hi to someone. So, yeah, that's a beautiful one. What is the one thing that you wish the world knew?
Well, I think it is resolving conflict. That actually we can resolve conflict in a peaceful way. I think it's unrealistic to think that we're not going to go through life without conflicts, whether it's in our personal lives or in our business lives or in a geopolitical sense. But actually, we have the ability to be able to sit down and resolve challenges and differences in a peaceful way. And I just, you know, we have bad role models at the top often, and we don't need to mention names because it's obvious, but aggressive, I'm the boss, I'm the leader, I know what's good for you sort of thing, and whether that filters down into police departments and into normal ways of doing business and in our personal lives. And we can rise above that and say, actually, that's not true. That's not part of our belief systems, our values, et cetera, and that we have the ability to pretty much resolve any conflict there is, but we just have to have the confidence and say no to what is unacceptable and to work a way through issues that come up.
Beautiful, yes. So important, because as you say, like, we are all going to go through challenging times and conflicts. So learning and having that capability and that which now it's called the soft skills, like having that being at the forefront of our education and how we go through life. So important. And to start at the end, how can we find you? How can we support and promote what you do?
Well, I mean, I was very generous offer, but I guess to find out a little bit through our website and the work that we're doing with the Karma Foundation would be wonderful to have support for that, and really just to learn about it, and then just understand when you buy that kombucha in a cafe or wherever you might be shopping, that actually that's not only having a good refreshing drink, but you're also doing some good for people at the other end of the world who perhaps don't have the luxuries and the everyday lifestyle that we're used to here, that we're wanting equality in the world, and that we're all, you know, in this together, and we need to help each other out, and businesses have that opportunity to give back, and that's a good thing to do, and to support businesses who have that philosophy. You know, when you go shopping, be conscious and be open in your decision making when you choose a product.
Beautiful. And we will have the website and all of the links on the comments on this episode, but Thank you so much, Chris, for taking the time to have this conversation with me. And thank you for everything that you have been doing now for decades and for being one of the leaders in this space. So thank you very much.
Thank you. You're very generous and keep up your great work. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode. If you have learned something or if you want to share something, please do so in the comments. And we'll see you at the next episode. Bye.
What did you like the most about this episode? Take a moment to think about what change you can make in your life today.
Share your conscious action on social media using hashtag conscious action and tagging at conscious action NZ so we can celebrate your impact on the world and create a ripple effect.
One easy action we would love for you to take right now is to share, like, and subscribe to this podcast. This will help us get these messages out into the world and inspire more people to take conscious action in their own lives, contributing to the better world we hope for.